Hey, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back in Hong Kong. If you didn't recognize, we came back yesterday morning, and so put on a little weight, but please don't mention it to me. First thing people said yesterday when I saw them, hey man, you got fat, what happened to you? It's not the most encouraging thing to hear as soon as you come back from Hong Kong. But it's great to be back. Thank you for praying for us. So we had a great time and all rested up. Even though I preached every weekend when I was in the States, but still got rested up during the time. So thank you for that. Today we have a special guest with us, and he's a friend of mine. And we got to know each other many years ago in Sydney. If you remember, over the years, we used to go out to Sydney, Australia quite a bit to do ministry. And I'd say probably half the time was with Pastor Joshua. And so he used to pastor New Life Church in Sydney. And now he took a little break, and he's going to go back to Sydney, and he's going to start a new church plant that's going to begin probably next year. And so kind of everything is kind of in motion for that. He's married, happily married. He's got two beautiful kids, and we just enjoyed over the years getting to know each other and our ministries. And actually, many of you have also been to Australia during that time as well. And so I know that you know him as well. And so let's welcome up Pastor Josh as he shares the word with us today.
Morning.
G'day, how are ya?
Oh, we didn't get that. It's so good to see you guys are here. It's kind of exciting to be here this morning because I think I should just give a little bit of history behind all like our relationship with the Pastor Sam. I think it was 6 years ago. I was introduced to him by, I think, Jimmy Choi. Jimmy, are you here? Put your hands up. All right, you always sit at the back, man. Anyway, through him, I got to know him. To be honest, my first impression of him was not that good. He was a bit scary. But he's one of those guys, like, you know, there are certain food, the first taste is not that nice, but if you eat over and over, there's better taste comes out of that, right? He's a kind of man, I think. It's kind of understatement that how he... the impact my life. It actually literally shaped my theological framework. I'm very reformed, very conservative pastor, like a background. I'm a kind of pastor like that. And he came and challenged me about all this crazy charismatic stuff, right? And I was very open to that still, but I didn't know how to go about it. And he introduced me theologically and biblically, and we share. And it really changed my heart. And from then on, the ministry has got changed. And the sermons changed. And the way I do the church changed. And I deeply, and I appreciated that his impact on that. But one thing that I just want to share with you guys, Solomon's Porch, I always thought, okay, if I go to Solomon's Porch, I really want to tell this to the people. I came, asked him to come first time, and I really liked it, and I asked him to come again and again and again, but our church was not that big, and my ministry was not rich enough, and I saw he's doing better than me financially, so I asked him to come, but I can't pay you anything, and all that, but he's being such a good, like, big brother figure. He has such a big heart for Sydney, and I come every time I asked him to come, he just come and do the ministry. And my wife actually last night, he told me that, oh man, tell him sorry that we only give him McDonald's, right? We don't feed him well and all that stuff. I mean, we have this kind of a soft spot or guilt feeling in our heart. But I'll tell you guys, whenever Pastor Sam came and with the team, you guys made a huge impact. I just want to share that with you guys. I'm sure whether Pastor Sam shared that with you or not, he probably do if I know him well. His impact on the second generation Asian Australian, Korean Australian in Sydney is really literally, it's very crucial, very very powerful, and I just continue on doing that, and I really want to thank him. You know, they say that behind every great man, there's a great woman, right? And I know that behind a great pastor, there's a great congregation. You like it now, don't you? I was thinking, wow, there are great congregations sending him to Australia, selflessly giving and pouring into a nation and the impact of generation. That I want you to really to know this, and I want you guys to be encouraged by this news, and I want you to really continue doing what you guys are doing. I know this is not the mega church. We all have seen bigger church, but the power of church is not measured by the size of church. But you are making an influence. You are making an impact around Asia area. So I just want to encourage you guys. Yeah, is that good? Yes. Yeah? So I just want to keep on praying. Be Solomon's porch that you can be, you know, the best you can be. And you are doing amazing work. So how about we give a big clap for God about that? Awesome. Thank you. All right, please open your Bible. All right, Exodus chapter 14, 10 to 21. This is the kind of the sermon that I've been preaching for this season. Somehow God gives me the seasonal sermon. This is the one passage that I always preach many times for the last few months. So if you happen to see in a YouTube message that I preached, this is the better version, all right? I just want you to know that. I upgraded as I go, right? But Exodus chapter 14, 10 to 21. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptian. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than to die in the desert.'" Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptian you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I'm standing before your people once again. I need you to speak to these people, Lord. They do not need Joshua Choi's word. They need your word. So I need you to speak into their heart, into their mind. Convict them, confront them, comfort them with your word so that they may encounter you in a way that you want them to, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a turning point of Israelites. You know, from slave to free people, from an ethnic minority to a nation. You know, so I picture the day when Israel people took the first step out of Egypt, yeah? And children singing, you know, young men working, Moses leading. And you can almost imagine an old woman, you know, gazing into the sky and remembering how she was born as a slave, lived all her life as slave, and thought, expect to die as a slave. But she never knew the day would come when she is a slave no more. You know, but the story changes dramatically when Pharaoh changed his mind and Israel faced the Red Sea. They can't go forward. They can't go backward. They are stuck. Long before these chosen people turn into a nation from which the Messiah will come, they are facing the total extermination, the first Holocaust. The first thing they choose to do was not quite the reaction you'd imagine or expect to see from people who just witnessed the craziest, the amazing signs and wonders of God that anyone laid their eyes on. They complained, they blamed, they resented. See, this is the setting. This is the point when God showed up and revealed to people of Israel to tell us what kind of God we are worshiping. This God is the God who fights for us. This is the God who fights for us. Everybody turns. Somebody sitting next to you, say, "Hey, beautiful. Hey, hello, handsome." I just stole that from him. Say that God is fighting for you. Verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I think this is a powerful, powerful passage to us. You know, today I pray that we all appreciate this biblical and powerful picture of God. And as believers, I pray that we get stirred by this passionate God and it causes us to worship Him. And if you are non-Christian sitting here today, I pray that you may be intrigued by the message and you will rethink about your understanding of Him. See, growing up in a very traditional church all my life, you know, it was always hard for me to relate with the idea of God who fights for me. You know, to me, I don't know whether you can relate with me as well. God is always seems to be just too far away. It's very hard to satisfy. He's just too holy for me to just go get closer to Him. I know all the stories in the Bible. I heard it and all that stuff. But to really believe deep down in my heart, this is the God who is intimate with me, it's very hard for me because, you know, whenever I come to church, the sermon I hear, then the teaching I get is almost like a God is ready to punish you. He's just like itching to hit you, right? I come to church and close my eyes and I pray. The reason is because if I open my eyes, God is just right in front of me. You know, He's thunderbolt in His hand. You're like, open it, right? God is a scary God, to be honest. And but whenever I come to the Bible like this, and the Bible projecting this complete different picture of God, especially passage today, God is fighting for us. You know, I mean, there was time that I was driving in the car with my another pastor. He was driving and I was just sitting in the passenger seat, and he went through the red light, right? And then there was a policeman were there, and he got caught. So he came out, went out and got the fine and came in. He got disappointed. I can't understand why he said that, what he said. But, you know, first thing he said was that, why did I get the fine today? Is that because I didn't pray this morning? So that was his logic right here. His picture of God is God is giving fine whenever we don't pray to Him. And I had that kind of theological confusion right there. Like, what do you guys think? What do you think? Why do you think this pastor got the ticket? Is because he didn't pray that morning? I think he got the ticket because he went through the red light. You see, we are very quick to jump to the idea of God who is so angry at us, yeah? I know there's a certain passages in the Bible that God is actually furious in the sin and the sinful nature, the choices we make, that we are under the wrath of God. But that's not the big picture. The big picture is that the Bible tells us this morning, is that no, this is the God who fights for us. Now, in saying that God is fighting for you, explains in detail how He loves us. This is trouble. If He just says God loves you, it doesn't touch us anymore. I know the word love in Bible is a powerful word, my friend. You should understand this agape love, that the unconditional love is just like earth-shattering, mountain-moving kind of powerful word. But somehow Hollywood and the TV dramas and all the things, multimedia, we just like saturated with us. This kind of love that is temporary, that is very emotional, that is very self-centered. So we get confused. The same word doesn't really touch us. When people say, God loves you, yeah, I know what love is like. So they come up with their own definition of love. But Bible teaches in a different way. When God says, I love you, it has a complete different magnitude, different angles to it. Like, Michael Jackson came to the Sydney in the concert. He goes, I love you, Sydney. He said, I love you, Sydney, right? I don't know whether he did it, but I love you, Sydney, right? But all the crowd there, and there's nobody in the room, right? They'll say, really? Michael loves me. You know? no one will feel that connection. Really, wow, he loves. Because we all knew when he said, whenever he says, I love you, Sydney, we all knew in the back of our mind, he goes, yeah, you're just saying, I love your money, right? I love you, what you're paying for this, right? I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. Michael Jackson would never say that, I'll fight for you, Sydney. See, it changes, right? When God says, I love you, it actually means, he said, I will fight for you. It means that he will get involved in your life. I am not the grandfather sitting in the holy chair and the reluctant or irrelevant to you guys. I'm the kind of God from the very beginning to pursuing you. Every moment of your life, I'm a fighting God. I'm the God who draws a sword. See, that's the complete picture that the Bible tells us today. God will fight for you means that he will stand between the gap and he will take the hit. He will die before you, before any harms get to you. And if you read the New Testament, see, the greatest fight God ever fought comes out. I can fight anyone, right? I can fight like a Pastor Samuel, but he probably beat me. You know? He's just bigger than me. I probably can fight this lady here. Yeah. I probably can win, right? Are you a martial arts expert? No, okay. This is Hong Kong, so you probably know Jackie Chan or all that stuff. See, I can fight. I can even fight Michael Tyson, right? Of course, I wouldn't last 1 second. Now, one punch, I'm gone. I can even fight like a Barack Obama. I can send a nasty email like, I hate you, right? But he probably just send the army and I'll get killed. But I can do something about my enemy if my enemy is outside of me. Do you see what I'm saying here? Yeah? I can fight. I can retaliate. I can do something. I can run around in the ring. That's Michael Tyson, right? I can spit at him at least, right? I can do something about my enemy when my enemy is someone outside of me. But what would you do, my friend, when your worst enemy, when your greatest enemy is actually you? You are the enemy that you cannot overcome. The craving that you have, the nature, sinful nature we always struggle with. You know, the Apostle Paul says that I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. Oh, wretched person I am. This deepest struggle of a man is the enemy is inside of us. It's us. I want to worship God. I want to love God. But I don't know why I'm keep on running away from God. I don't know that why I do the things that I don't want to do. Do you see what I'm saying here? Yeah? When we are in a facing the biggest enemy of our lives, and we can fight them because it is us actually, we need someone else to fight for us. And what is that fight? Cross. Cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That is the greatest fight that God fought and won the battle and saying, I died for you. The sin, the sinful nature you're struggling, you couldn't fight before. Now you have a ways to fight. And I fought it. I won it. I am a fighting God. I'm a fighting God. See, this is the reason why we always have to be Christ-centered. You know, whenever you have the doubt in your mind whether God loves you or not, and God invites you into the place where he demonstrates his love in the most powerful way, Jesus Christ. Hey, there's one historical event, and no one can deny 2,000 years ago, there was a man died on the cross. And the people will come to the same event and look at it, and they walk away with a complete different interpretation. And the consequence will be completely changed, like different, and change their lives. Some will just come, hey, there's a good man died. This was a criminal died on the cross. But if you walk away from that event and saying, hey, that is the Son of God, the God himself became a man and died for me, He fought for the battle that I cannot win. And that was me, that meant to be me. And I died with him. And I rose again with him. See, that is going to change your life because it affirms us, confirms us that what kind of God we are worshiping today. This God loves you. No. That kind of Michael Jackson kind of love, right? No, that kind of, not the kind of emotional love we're talking about. It's action statement. This God really loves you. See, we have this, this table here. Do this in remembrance of me. Why is it? No, he says, please remember what I'm about to do for you, yeah? Before you die. Why? Because we forget. We forget so easily. And when you forget the cross, you will forget. You will have a hard time to remember the love of God in your life. And you know what? When you do not have a love of God, the conviction of God's love into your life, oh, you will be shaken. The enemy can come. Enemy can just attack you because you feel that you're alone and no one is fighting for you. Yeah? See, if the greatest offense to God is not the sin. God can't handle the sin. We know that in the Bible. The greatest offense to God is your inability to believe God's love over your life. Can you say amen to that? See? So, God always invites you back. Hey, look at me. Look how I handle Israelites when they face the Red Sea. Look at how I handled Moses, the situation of Abraham or Daniel, that how I fought for these people. Romans chapter 8, 31, and says, and there's nothing, and absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, and says, this is how I'm going to fight for you. This is how I'm going to fight for you. And the God who's fighting for us, it also means if he initiates, he will orchestrate and he'll also accomplish it. So when he invited you into the relationship with him, you are not going to be alone. He's going to continue it. He's going to lead you, guide you. He will orchestrate it. See, if you read the Exodus chapter 14, you will see how God says that God caused Pharaoh hardens his heart. Do you see what I'm saying here? See, when the Egyptian army was chasing Israelite, the Bible doesn't say that, oh, God is in trouble. So God has to come up with something. You know, when the Israelite people face the Red Sea, there's the Bible doesn't say that, well, you know, God is doing something completely like, you know, because it's a new situation here. No. Actually, it goes right back from even before they face the Red Sea. And God says, you know what? I harden the heart of Pharaoh and they will chase up to you. Why? So that the glory of God will be revealed through him. Basically, what God is saying that, you know, do you see the army that you're watching right now trying to kill you? I cause them. I make them to chase you. Do you see the Red Sea right now? Oh, you can't go across right there? You know what? I led you here. Why? Because I want you to know. I want to show you what kind of God I am. The glory of the creator of the universe will be revealed in a situation when you can't fight for yourself. See, I know personally how it feels like because I was struggling with a certain disease in my life. It's called ulcerative colitis. So I took up my large intestine. It's an autoimmune disease, my immune system attacking my body and all that stuff. And it's a long-term disease. I suffered from it about 18 years. The hardest part about long-term disease is this. It's not the pain itself, really. You get used to pain even. The worst part of a long-term disease is hopelessness. Knowing that I was sick yesterday and I was sick last month, I was sick last year, I was sick 10 years ago, I know that I will be, I decide already in my heart that I will be sick tomorrow or next month, the year after, or 10 years later. I was just like a stuck. I'm stuck. I can't go forward. I can't backward. Like for 10 years, I've been here. And there's no sign of being cured here. And I felt so alone in this. My wife comes and says, "That's all right, that's all right." No, it's not right, right? I love my wife, by the way, but, you know, there's nothing she can do about my ordeal, my pain, my loneliness. You know, I'm so alone. And there was a moment that actually God revealed who He is and spoke into my heart. I say, "No, you are not alone." In a hospital, this pastor came to me. He just read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? Because for He is with me. He is with me. Right in the midst of the valley of a shadow of death. See, God never promise you that the your Christian journey will be just a rose paved way all the way through, right? Though actually you can, you might be in a situation where you have to walk through the valley of shadow of death, but you will feel no evil because if you open your spiritual eyes, the God who became a man fighting for us every second, every moment, every day of our life. Oh, it changes me. It literally changes me. And I know that it's not me I have to do this lonely fight, but it's God who initiated. If it's God who orchestrated, it's God who will accomplish it. You know, that's what the Romans chapter 8 says. I love Romans chapter 8 today, right? It says, those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Can you say amen to this? Oh, I love this kind of God. God who knows how to take us from the baby step to all the way. This is the beginning of Israel's journey, going into the promised land. And every situation, God showed up and tells us, "Look, I'm not the kind of guy who just sitting up there and playing holy PlayStation, right?" But seriously, sometimes don't we feel like that? Don't we feel like, "God, what are you doing right now?" Sometimes you feel like, "Oh, God, you got to do something. You're too silent. You're too irrelevant, indifferent." And whenever you have that kind of moment, I want you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit who invites you once again. "Look, go to the cross. What I have done 2,000 years ago, the highlights, the greatest display of the God's love that set under the hill, then you will know that I love you. I'll fight for you. I'm a fighting God." Every time you come on Sunday, you gotta know that this God is fighting God. He's active God, working God. This morning, my friend, He's the one who is working harder than anyone here. Can you say amen? You just have to know and see this amazing God who's actively involved in our life. Now, but you know what? I think one of the reasons we are struggling to understand this kind of the picture of God is because we can't solve the problem. Why? Why, yeah? You know, deep down inside, you probably have this kind of the question. I mean, there's nothing I can offer to Him. You know, in the world of no pain, no gain, you know, give and take. You know, it's just like if somebody says, "I love you, I'll fight for you," you just immediately think then, "So what's the catch?" And we automatically goes into mode and it's like, no. Let's doubt. Let's just until it's proven. I can't believe this. I can't jump into this. Yeah, see, that's why if you receive an email saying that random email said, "Hey, you won $1 million. Just give us your bank account and password, and we'll send it right to you." What do you do? "Oh, thank goodness. Wow. This is what I've been praying about." Right? Is this what you do? No, no. If you have a normal average IQ, right? You're rejected. Why? Because I didn't do anything. That's the system we are working under. Yeah? It must be a scam. It's a hidden agenda. There's always a hidden agenda, of course. So when you come to church and hear the message like this, God will fight for you, and you immediately think, "Why? What did I do?" So we threw it away. I know some of you guys are already doing that right now. Yeah, that's a typical Christian talk that, it doesn't really apply to me, right? No. You got to get this. I'm okay. Oh, let me help you to understand why God decided to do this. This is just, I don't know. So once you grab this, you will just completely love back and love God, really just enjoy God's providence and his love for you as well. Well, one of the hardest things I ever experienced in my life is when my wife, back then my girlfriend came to me and said, "Joshua, my father wants to see you." That was something, that was a scary moment, right? So he invited me to the dinner. I went there, and he's actually, he's worked out. He's 60-something years old right now, but he still have more muscle than anyone that I know, right? He comes and says, "Hey, come on in," I think all the fathers learn how to lower the voice when the boyfriend of their daughter comes, right? You don't want to talk, you, all right? "Yeah, come on in." So, that's typical Korean stuff. And we sit around the table. And he just, we just eat. I don't know what I was eating, literally. I was so scared. I was so intimidated. I was looking at it like this, right? And after dinner, we came and sit around. And just kind of relaxed. And he said something that I'll never forget in my life. He said this, right? Literally, this is what he said. He said, in Korean, right? He said, "Hey, Joshua, Yongjina," that's my Korean name. "You know what? I'm not saying this because she is my daughter. You know, he's just saying that, I'm not saying this because I'm a father, right? I'm saying this objectively speaking." That's the word he chose. 객관적으로, right? "Objectively speaking, she is the best girl in the world." So I was sitting there, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I agree, of course. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Crucial, you know." But deep inside my heart, I was like, "You're right." No. I like her. She's a great girl. But, he's a father saying objectively. Where's that objectivity comes from? What, did he do survey out there? Ask questions about 1,000 people. Who is the best girl in the world? Tick the one box right there and come up with this data there. There's no way he can prove that Yuna is the best girl in the world right there. Yeah? So I was like, yeah, but, I came out and my wife following me at the dinner. After dinner, I just turned around and goes, "Objectively speaking, you're right." And she goes, "Oh, shut up, go home." So I went home. Oh, that was quite funny night. But many, many years later, I got married and I have kids now. I have a daughter. I'm not saying this because she's my daughter. Really, objectively speaking, she is the best kid in the world. What, you don't trust me? You don't believe me? Well, I don't care. Why do I need your approval? Right? Why do I need your approval for me to love my daughter right there? Right? You can call it I'm blind. Okay, who cares? I'm her father right there. But in this room, when I said that, no one disagreed why I have to love my daughter right there, right? We just have this commonality just built up right there. Yeah, it's right for you to love your daughter because I am her father. And Bible says one of the biggest paradigm that God comes up with whenever he wants to relate with us, he said, "I am your father. I made you. I'm your father. I'm your father. And I love you. I'll fight for you." And when we come to God, "God, why you love me?" "Oh, shut up. I love you. There's no objectivity in there. Why don't care? I mean, God does not care about how the world thinks of you or how someone sitting next to you thinks of you. Come on, church, let's give a clappy clap. Why not? God loves you, and He has a power and intention to love you. And this is a God who fights for you, fights for you, fights for you. If you're in doubt, my friend, come back to the cross once again. Read the Bible. Encounter God once again. How much His heart is pumping up for you to help you understand. This is a God who fights for you. I have a story in my ministry a lot long ago. Our church and Pastor Sam, so our beginning was very, very small church, but somehow, you know, people starting to come, and you know, a lot of drug addict people came, all trouble kids come, and you know, a gangster wannabe, they'll come. And once they got transformed, this amazing thing I'm just witnessing, but I'm just like a you know, typical pastors grown up in Christian family. But these guys come and they have this wildness in them, right? And they love God in a way they, you know, they just passionately pursuing God. It's just like, whoa, this is good stuff. And they come to me and say, Pastor Joshua, can we just go out to the street and love on people? And to be honest, I was a little bit scared. You know, so I said, oh, maybe the Holy Spirit rebuked me. Let them go. Okay, go. So they start to go out. And literally just go out on the street and talk to people. And I just, hi, how are you? It's not about Jesus loves you and come to church. Oh, you go to hell. It's not like that, right? Just go there. You know, talk. Hey, my name is... And I've seen so many crazy stories from there. One of the story that I still carries in my heart dearly is they went to this King's Cross. You know what King's Cross, where King's Cross is? It's called Red Light District. How do you know it's Red Light District? And yeah, some of you guys need a counseling, man. Right? Anyway, it's a Red Light District because that's where they used to play. So they go back there and just went to this one of the prostitutes sitting on the standing on the road. And they come and say, hey, how are you? Can I talk to you? And she turned around and says, if you want to talk to me, you got to pay. And if I were them, if somebody says something like that, I would say, okay, I'm sorry. I walked away, right? I would walk away. But this guy is like, really? All right. How much do you have? How much? So they collect the money. We got about $200. How long can he have you? And it's like, oh, about 30 minutes. So, okay. And they took her into McDonald's and sitting around, okay, I got you half an hour. Let's talk. So they start talking. They start to sharing their life. They're starting to this is what who I am, or this is what I do. What do you do? Oh, no, you can ask her what to do, what she does, but we all know what she does. You know? So they started talking, and she was eating, because the street girl, they don't get fed well, yeah? And so she was like, wow, what's going on? But she had her, and later she explained to us that she had many people comes and goes, these sympathetic Christians come, says God loves you and gives money here and there and all that stuff. But then they never show up. But somehow these guys, just like they show up every Thursday night. They go up there and they look for her. And that's like, oh, have you seen Bonnie? There's the pimp there again. Hey, you're the Bonnie's pimp. Hey, where's the Bonnie? They're looking for her. And then they, a group of people going there got well known around the group, right? So other prostitutes start to notice, oh, hey, you're looking for Bonnie, hey, she's there, right? All this stuff. Anyway, so and we've been keep on doing that. We just keep on loving on her. One day on Saturday night, on Sunday morning service, I got this text message saying, Pastor Joshua, get ready. Bonnie is coming to church. So like, whoa. And I just go and I just went up to the pulpit and told them, hey, Bonnie's coming. And I remember her just coming through the door, sitting about second row in the church. And I saw her crying from the very beginning to the end. Prostitute sitting in the church, listening every sermon. I mean, every word that I spoke to her. I somehow preached on something about the thief who died on the cross with Jesus, right? Another guy who got saved, just saying that remember me when you get to paradise and got saved. And I just preached on that. And after sermon, I invite, hey, anybody wants to receive Jesus, because God loves you that much. Anyone can be saved today. No matter who you are, if this thief has that kind of an invitation, you definitely have an invitation today. Come if you want to receive Christ. And some people came and she came out. Man, my heart jumped. I ran out to her. All my leaders came. We didn't orchestrate this. We didn't talk about this. They just came and hugged her. We prayed together. And she was like crying. And she was like kissing on my cheeks. Like, God, thank you, thank you. You know, have you ever kissed by a prostitute in the most holy place? It's very confusing, you know. And I was just holding her, you know. She's just like crying and thank you, thank you. And I just like, we're just having such it's a party time. And she was asking, she walked away and she asked one of our guys and says, why are you guys doing this to me? Why? Right? And this guy, he was very, very new Christian, but he became a Christian. He has this fire in his heart. He said one word explains it perfectly. He turned around and says to her and says, because you are worth it. Because you are worth it. Every drop of blood of Jesus Christ is worth for you. Even you are prostitute, even you feel that your people say that you are worthless, God sees you. God is fighting for you. God will not hesitate to die for you. You are worth it. My friend in this room, this Sunday morning, in a place like this, I don't know where you come from, I don't know what your journey is, but I want you to really learn today that God will not just walk away from you simply because you are stuck. Simply because you don't know how to please Him. I want you to come back to the cross. See this dying man who's saying, I have finished. And look at the people in the Red Sea and seeing the mighty power of God and the God who says, I will fight for you. I want you to listen to Him today. I had my own share of depression when I was sick. When you're physically sick, you get to do that, right? So dark. But my friend, God is fighting for you when you are depressed. Amen? God is fighting for you when you lost a job. God is fighting for you when you struggle through your marriage. God is fighting for you in your disease, your cancer. God is fighting for you in the darkest hour of your life. God is fighting for you in the loneliest moment of your life. This God is fighting God, my friend. And what do we do now? What do we do now? Okay, God fights for me, then what do we do now? Number one, worship Him. Love Him back. Worship Him. Come to the place of worship. Not just singing. Yes, singing, yes. But just come to the place of complete submission and surrender and say, God, here I am. I want to give you my living sacrifice. Number two, join in Him. Join in His fight. This redemptive history hasn't finished. It's climax in the cross of Jesus Christ, but it continues on. Join in Him. I just love seeing SPs and like going to the street and like talking to the prostitutes and all that. Join in God's fighting right there. He will work through you. He's not just working for you. He's not just working in you, but He's also working through you. This is an amazing invitation for all of us. Man, this is an awesome thing that we can actually partner God. See, there was time when I was doing gardening. And then I was lifting some heavy stuff and my 5-year-old daughter came out and said, Daddy, Daddy, can I help you? Man, this little girl. And it's such a small girl. And when she said that, it was my heart jumped. Like, wow, it's so good. But you know what? But what can she do to me? What can she help? But when she said, there's no father in the world, Daddy, Daddy, can I help you? It's like, Scott, look at you. You're barely 6 years old. What can you do for me? Go up and go to the room and just go home and just grow up a bit and come back. You know, when you're ready, you can help me. No. Father never does that, right? I said, of course, you want to help me? Why don't you join up? So I'm going to hold this beam and I'm going to hold this part. Why don't you hold that part, right? On three, one, two, three. I hold it. She hold, and she hold it like this, and we carried it together. Man, you know what? It was so hard. She's not helping me. She literally just tagging along like this. And she was keeps saying, yeah, I'm helping daddy. It's like in my heart, you're right, you're helping me. Right? But you know what? To be honest, I was so enjoying that. The partnership she's offering. She's just saying yes to my invitation. You know, but literally what happened is that I am carrying all the beam and her as well. She's just tagging along and I'm carrying the whole thing up. And this is it. That's a biblical picture that we have right here. This almighty creator of the universe do not need your help, my friend. You got to get this. Get this into your heart. Get this into your brain. God does not need your help. It's not like, I'm going to go give you God this offering because you need it. No, it doesn't work that way. God is richer than you, my friend, right? But he wants you to join in him. To be honest, absolutely honest, I don't know why God wants to use me, a person like me, you know, fob, you know, with a long face. I don't know, but somehow God chooses work. People like me, people like you, people like Moses, Abraham, David, you know, they all have their flaws and their weaknesses, but God constantly reveals it's not about them, it's about me, and constantly inviting you, join me, let's have fun together. There are worlds out there to be touched, and I want to touch them through you. God is fighting for you, my friend. Join him today through your worship, through your life, through your prayer. Let's pray. Hey, let's have a moment. I don't know how you guys do it, but just let's do it here. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, right? Let the really Holy Spirit speak into your heart. This is time when you don't need the pastors. I'm the most worthless man right now. You need God. You need to spend time with God. Let God speak into you, into your heart. What is he saying to you? Are you handling your own insecurity? Are you going through your own darkest hour? Are you facing the Red Sea? You're seeing the armies, accusers, the people who has intention to kill you, chasing after you. You feel like you're cornered, the world surrounded you, and you feel you're alone. God is inviting you to the place where you can actually look up and see what God is doing this morning for you, in you, and through you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. If you're still struggling with your mind, the very picture of God who is fighting for you, that you need to remember what God actually did on the cross. That is a historical event that even non-Christian cannot deny. And you come here and doubting God, do you really love me? And God says, yes, I do. I do. I have died for you. I handle the sin in the past, in the present, in the future. You just have to come and believe what I've done and what I'm doing, what I will do for you. Come on, church, just embrace it. Agree with the Holy Spirit. Just say, yes, thank you, God loves me. Thank you, God, for loving me right now. Just say that from your heart. Let the love of God truly saturate you in this place.
Yes, God. Can I ask you, everybody just close your eyes. I just want to ask a few questions. And Holy Spirit is asking me to ask you this question, I think. There are people in this room trapped by the past experience and the mistakes and things you've done in the past. It could be last year or last month or last night. The guilt and shame you carried all the way here and struggling to see if God loves you right now. Close your eyes, please. If that's you, Holy Spirit wants to address into your heart to show you how much God loves you. If something that you are struggling and really wants to be delivered from, I want you just to raise your hand and to put it down so that we can pray for you. I can pray for you. Okay, I see the hands. I can see the hands. I can see the hands. I can see the hands. Right? You can drop it. Drop it. You can drop it. Come on. There are people in this room struggling with hatred. Hatred towards your parents. Or resentment towards your close people, the significant others that you live with, you meant to love, but somehow you got hurt by them. You're just carrying this hatred in you. And you're just presenting before God this morning. God, I want to handle this. Can you help me to forgive? Can you give me the strength? Can you fight for me on this issue? If that's you, I want you to just raise your hands. Just acknowledge with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I see the hands. All right, I see the hands. I see the hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's sing this song together as we just pray. Yeah, just close your eyes if you can.
If my heart is my heart,
but let the song becomes your testimony. Yeah, let the healing come.
And I cannot hear your voice. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done.
Yes, God.
And the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I'm yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul. I'm yours. I am forever yours.
When my heart is filled, my heart is filled with hope, and every promise comes my way. When I feel your hands of praise rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands and praise. Remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I've had because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I'm yours. I am forever yours.
Thank you, Pastor Josh, for the message. Let's just continue to respond to the word. You know, when I was on break the whole time, the thing that kept coming to my mind over and over again was just really the vision of our church, a place where people can encounter God. And I feel like this is a very appropriate time for many of us to encounter Him. So let's close our eyes and just going to spend a moment and pray for each other. If you resonate with the message that was spoken today and just something is in your heart and maybe you feel lonely, maybe you're in a desperate time, maybe things and circumstances have not quite worked out the way that it should, maybe you're looking in the face of something and feeling very hopeless. Well, just like Pastor Josh said, the Lord is fighting for you. Now, we don't want that to be just an intellectual conviction, even though that would be powerful in itself. We are here to encounter God. God is here to encounter you. And so with all the faith that you can muster up right now, can I just invite you to stand where you're at? As a declaration, God, I'm here. I'm here to encounter you, God. Don't care about things that are going on around me. I don't care what people think about me. Lord, I'm here. I'm in a situation. And all that does is it's not just for you to stand or anything, but it actually gives us a cue as a community of who we should be praying for diligently right now. And I'll wait. I know there's some more of you here. Just invite you, just stand where you're at and just continue to receive from the Lord. And now, the beauty of all this is that God sets us together as a church, as a body. And not only is God fighting for you, but you have people around you that are also fighting with you. And so can I invite us as a church, and this is not just for leaders, I'm talking about the whole church. Can I invite you, if you're around somebody, to go and stand with them first of all, lay your hands on them, and just pray. Now, it's not your anointing. Just pray because God's here. And just pray with them. You don't have to know what's going on, but the Lord maybe give you a prophetic word and you can speak into their life. Can I invite you just all across the place? And because God wants to encounter them, really through you as well. And so let's just surround our friends, the body of Christ. The Bible says when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And so we want to stand with you in prayer. And if you are the one that stood, I just want you to receive. I don't even want you to pray right now. I don't want you to feel like you have to do anything, because you don't. And let the body of Christ come alongside and be that strength with you. That you know that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That He's there with you. And you just receive from God. Just take a deep breath. And let Holy Spirit encounter you right now. So others, I want you to move from your seat. I want you to find somebody. If you're sitting there, I want you to pray and just intercede right now. The worship team will continue to lead us. And let's pray for a God encounter. More than just an intellectual conviction. That Holy Spirit would sear the truth of that conviction in their heart that God is with them. Thank you, God. I feel like God's give me a prophetic word, just a word of knowledge over somebody. I get a sense from the Lord that there's a couple here and you're struggling to have a baby. And there's a lot of tension, a lot of stress in your relationship, a lot of doubting of yourself. And I just feel like this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I hear your prayers. I got your back. Don't worry. Don't fear. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm going to take care of this for you. And I just want you to receive that in God. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, for this couple, or maybe it could be couples, God, that are here right now, that are full of self-doubt, that are full of anxiety, God, and a lot of fear of what's wrong with them, and all these things that the enemy just puts upon them. I thank you, God, it's a done deal, Lord, that in God, Lord, it's done. And so we release the security, we release the promise of God. We thank you in advance, God. We bless you, Lord. Let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this together. If you're praying, continue to pray. God's really encountering people right now. Let's sing this and let's go before the Lord. Grab someone's hand next to you. Let's pray. Let's pray for the reality for one another right now before I give benediction. Let's pray for the brother and sister on the right of you, that they would know that they belong to God. They would know that they are serving a God that fights for them, fights with them on their behalf. And let's just lift each other up right now in prayer. The best gift that you can offer to each other right now. Let's pray together. That covers all of our sin. We thank you for grace, God, that we receive what we don't deserve. And you love us, God, just the way that we are. I know that a lot of these things are cliches and things that we've heard before, God, from times past. But Lord, we pray, Spirit of God, that you would set the reality of that in our minds and our hearts right now. God, we are your beloved sons and daughters, God, in whom you're pleased with, in whom you love, God. That's so immensely. And we leave this place, God, your house, full of that love, Lord. God, ready to take on whatever's in front of us, God, because we know that you're with us always. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We belong to you, God. So we thank you for the message today, God. I pray that you burn it into our souls right now. Lord, have our mind, God, that really in many ways rejects the things of God. Have our mind now wrestle with the Word of God in our hearts. God, and change us and transform us, Lord. And we thank you, God. Watch over us this week, Lord, as we seek to bless you, to honor you, God, to join you in your redemptive work of winning this world for you. Lord, we say yes to that assignment, God. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you hug your neighbor, say thanks for praying for me. Say bless you, have a great week in God. Please join us for some refreshments if you're new. Join us for some coffee. If you need some prayer, come into the front and receive some ministry. Have a great week this week.